Turn with me in your Bibles to the 45th chapter of the first book of Moses, Genesis. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. Hear now the very words of God. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them, before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say to him, Thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For there art yet 5 years of famine, lest thou come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren are come." And it pleased Pharaoh well and all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin gave he 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive." I will go and see him before I die. Thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 45. Well, we have a great, great chapter. It is not that long, and yet it is quite weighty, quite interesting and wonderful to our hearing, but not nearly as wonderful as it was to Joseph and to Jacob. There was, in the scene before, and we must go back in order to understand what has been going on. I have this divided into four sections. The course, the cry, the comfort, and the commandment. And so in the course, the purpose or the process is complete. We cannot understand Joseph's revealing himself unto them here except we understand Judah's repentance in the last chapter and Joseph's greater purpose. Joseph has been, if you will, pursuing a course of reclamation and reformation for the sons of Jacob. Whereas before, the brothers were wont to kill the heir and to seize the inheritance themselves. Now, Judah says, I will stay, and Benjamin can return. What an overturning of Judah's prior commitments to his own self-seeking and self-serving ways. Whereas before, they were at odds with the will of their father, and by that, with the will of God, in reviling, persecuting, and selling into slavery, now their will is in sweet compliance with the will of their father. And they are rather the willing to sell themselves into slavery for Benjamin to return. This is repentance. Repentance is not simply, I repent and I'm sorry, you know, we're all sinners after all. What did John the Baptist tell those scribes and Pharisees that came out to meet him? They said, well, we need to go get baptized by John too, everybody else is. And so John saw them come and he says, oh, you brood of vipers, like snakes fleeing the fire, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. This is what Judah does. Now that that course is complete, we see then Joseph ready to reveal himself to his brethren, and not a second before. Whereas his brothers had maintained this lie from the days of Joseph's disappearance, here now we note the candor of Judah as he speaks to Joseph. Whereas they had maintained the lie to their father and to all who would ask publicly, we know not what happened to Joseph. We simply found his coat. Judah says, may I speak a word in the hearing of my Lord of Egypt? And then tells him all his heart, every detail of the promises that he made to Jacob. And so he has become a man not of deception and lying, but a man of the truth. You see, through this whole scenario with the no grain in Canaan, but all the grain in Egypt. Do you think that that famine was sent simply to make Egypt great? That famine was sent for the reclamation of God's people. The mighty hand of God sent famine upon Egypt to reclaim 70 souls in Canaan because He loved them. So is the greatness of God in sending Joseph ahead in order that when the Lord sent that famine, His promised people, His covenant people might be preserved and brought not only to Joseph, more properly, to repentance. And so, a use for all those in authority. It may be an arduous course to bring an erring brother to repentance, but it is well worth the effort. Remember that you have a faithful Father in heaven who will pursue you to the ends of the earth by trial and other difficult means of chastisement. to your ultimate repentance and salvation. How many of you have read the Apostolic Fathers? Some of you no doubt have. There is a story, and I looked last night, I couldn't find it. I looked for quite a while. I spent too much time looking for it. But there was a story of the Apostle John, I believe. It was either John or Polycarp, and I could not remember which. That's why I couldn't find it. Oh, getting old is bad. But there was a point at which there was a man, a convert, that was converted under the preaching of the subject, either John or Polycarp. And it was reported that this man had apostatized and left the church. And so the apostle, I believe it was John, but I can't be sure, traveled to the city where that man was. This time, by this time, John was an aged man in his 90s, 80s or 90s. And he got off of the cart or the means of travel that he entered into the town upon, and seeing the young man saw him, and he lit out into the wilderness, into the environs out of town. And John, the ancient prophet and apostle, took off after him, running after him as best as his 80-year-old legs could carry him. And finally the young man stopped and fell down and wept. And John brought him back into the city. Such a heartwarming story. But that's exactly what the Lord is doing here. He's pursuing His recalcitrant and stubborn people, not leaving them to their own sins, but pursuing them to the ends of the earth, causing them to come from the ends of the earth to Egypt to be brought near. The second portion then... Oh, one more thing. I alluded to this during the prayer today, and I want you to drive it into your thinking. Children, listen to me. If you don't get anything else from today, or since we have been here at CCRPC, get this. The worst thing that can happen to you is that you get away with your sins. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. You should desire above all to be caught. Because if you're caught, you may confess and forsake your sins if you're recalcitrant to do it on your own. It is a sign of judgment that you get away with your sins. Number two, the cry. Now that Joseph has seen his brothers come full circle in repentance, he is overtaken with love for them and for his father. He holds no grudge, no animosity. He freely forgives and sees the greater picture of what God was doing rather than his own hurts. He too is a man of the covenant. What did he say to them? God sent me, not you. God sent me here. Don't be angry with yourselves thinking that you were the cause of it all. God has sent me here to save His people. His great-grandfather left his home for a land not his own. His grandfather bore the reproach of his neighbors and was forced to redig his father's wells. His father sojourned in a land not his own and labored for a covetous crook, and even now forced to send out for the vitals he needed to live. So too, Joseph took his place willingly with the other patriarchs, sojourning in a land not his own for the sake of the covenant, not bearing grudge against those who were the immediate cause of his being sent there. So Joseph had no qualms to suffer for the sake of the covenant. There are greater forces at work than your own little teapot. Learn to see the larger influence of the Lord working in and around your life, and lay down your life for the sake of the covenant and for the sake of Christ. Then notice also the comfort. Joseph speaks not to affright his brothers, but to set them at ease, to comfort them, although they were troubled when he revealed himself to them. He brought them near and spoke kindly and in a conciliatory way to them. He absolves them from their guilt by saying that it was God who sent them there. He reveals His authority and glory in Egypt, and He tells them His intention to care for them, to nourish them, to save them, and in so doing, to ensure that the covenant will indeed continue. And afterward, there was sweet communion between them all. Ungrudging communion. And then the commandment. Who gives this commandment? Well, I believe it's Pharaoh. Pharaoh turns to Joseph and he says, "Now I command you, go. Take carts. Take wagons. Lade them with stuff. All the best of the land of Egypt. And go. Get your father and bring him here. And all that he has and all of his. Tell your father not to worry about any of the stuff he's leaving behind, because the best of Egypt is at your disposal." So that's the command. And then finally, Jacob, who believes not at first. Oh, it had been so many years. How could Joseph yet be alive? And yet, when he sees all the provision and everything that Joseph has sent him, he remembers God in the covenant, and he says, "It is enough. Joseph is alive. God has indeed sent him there to save all of us. I'll go see my son before I die. What a wonderful statement of faith that the patriarch states, coming full round from his statement before, "Why are all these things happening to me?" Now, "I will go and see my son before I die." What a great thing. What a great chapter. And in the next chapter, the reunion of Joseph and Jacob. Another Kleenex warning. What a great passage it is to see them reunited. Thus ends the reading of Genesis 45. Let us stand and continue.